Okay, let's just go to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for each one here today. I pray, Father, please, that you will help us to hear the things that you want us to hear through the message. I pray, Father, please, that our hearts will be stirred by you, and help us to follow you intentionally, specifically seeking out you and your will and your purpose for each of our lives, that we might run the race, that we might fight the good fight, that we might one day stand before you in heaven and hear you say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter now into the joy of the Lord." And so, Father, I just pray that you honor that. In Jesus' name, amen. Years and years ago, well, that sounds bad. Years ago, that makes me feel a little better. There was a little booklet that we used to use in evangelism called The Four Spiritual Laws. Anybody ever recognize that? Yeah, a couple of you, right? Well, that just dates us a little bit, doesn't it? But inside that book, there was a diagram. We're going to look at that diagram in just a moment. But first, I'd like us to read 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 4 through 10. And let me just get there first. And it says this. It says, 2 Timothy chapter 4, 4 through 10. "They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." We're going to go back and look at that scripture in just a moment here. But some of the points in this, it really goes along with the song that Carolyn sang, and the basis of the message is our faith put to action. And faith without works, as King James Version says, faith without works is dead. What good is our faith if you don't practice it? And what does that really say about our trust or belief in God and his word? And we're going to look at that. There's a diagram. We're going to look at this. I'm going to turn this light off just for a moment. Just to make sure we can see all this. This first diagram, we lost it. Oh, it's back up. Thank you. So, which diagram represents you? Now, there's only one person in here, maybe two that remembers it, maybe three, I don't know. But this is each circle represents a person. And this circle represents the person who is not saved, who does not know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, has never received him into their life. The chair is the throne of their heart. In other words, the top priority on their life is their self. And all these thoughts that are kind of in different sizes and moved around represent all the different interests and facets of their life that they are focused on. And notice where the cross is. The cross is outside the circle of their life. So this is the unbeliever who's self-seeking, who has all these goals and directions and doesn't know Christ. Question, are you this person? Do you know Christ? The second one is the most common as far as the Christian faith, Christians. This is the Christian, because the cross is no longer on the outside of the circle. The cross is on the inside of the circle. And what is the top priority of this Christian? Self. Self is sitting on the throne of their life. In other words, for this Christian, the most important thing is them. And these are their interests scattered around. Christ is in their life. It's kind of like saying he's in my hip pocket And I know my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven, but I am the one who is in charge of my life. I'm the one who is going to direct my life. And so self is in place, and these are their interests. But this is what God wants us to be. This is the believer who puts Christ first. We baptized Gigi today, and in doing so, it's a statement that says, I've not only received Christ, but that I want to follow Christ. I want to commit my life to Him. I want to make sure that I've run the course that He has for me to live and the plans He has for me. So when we put Christ first, we boot ourselves off the throne of our heart. We're no longer top priority, but Christ is top priority. And if you notice, something happens. Specific direction starts to emerge in the believer's life. Christians who follow Christ first, who are committed to following Christ first and not themselves, will discover that God will reveal to them distinctively the directives, the purposes that God has for them, and therefore they, in their life, they know that they're not spinning their wheel. They know that they're not wondering if they live life the way God intended for them to live. And so the question is, are you the unsaved person? Or are you the saved person? You know you got Christ in your life, but you haven't made Him Lord. And that's a transition. You know, we have to come to a place where we receive Him as our Savior. We don't want to die and go to hell. We want to go to heaven through faith in Christ. But there's a place in our maturity in Christ when we transition taking ourselves off the center of our life and putting Christ in the center of our life. And when we do that, what we've essentially done is that we've allowed the Lord to be the Lord of our life. There are many, 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 many Christians who do not want the Lord to be Lord of their life. That's a sad statement. And you say, Pastor, how can you say that? I love Jesus and I love the Word, but truth of the pudding, as we used to say when I was younger, truth of the pudding is how we live our lives. If we believe the Scripture, then we should be living the Scripture. And so the first thing I want to ask is, do your ears desire to hear God speak His Word to you? Now, to understand the question, do we take pleasure in hearing God talk to us? Some people squirm in the pews. Some people squirm to death. They go to church or whatever, and you know they're starting to squirm because it's starting to touch the area of their heart or their life or their focus that makes them uncomfortable because they're afraid that God's going to say, no. God's going to say, don't even go there. Don't live that way. Don't have that in your life. Don't do these things. And our human nature wants to say, it's my life, I want to do it my way, and I really, God, I don't care what you have to say. But see, that's the Christian who's not willing to allow Jesus to be Lord of their life. Now, some of you might be sitting here this morning and going, yeah, I'm feeling that squirming right now. But see, that's not me, that's the Holy Spirit. But when we enjoy hearing God speak to us because our conscience is clear before God, because our heart is in love with Jesus, because we want to know what His desire is for us, and even if He points out things that we already know that we shouldn't have done or said or are, we humble ourselves and submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit in our heart and say, I know. Lord, help me. And that's not a cliche. Lord, please help me. To be the person you want me to be, help me to get past these weaknesses in my life and these circumstances. Help me to handle the circumstances in a correct manner. So when I ask the question, do your ears desire to hear God speak His word to you? The answer is yes and no. For the one who has said, I want Jesus to be Lord of my life, and I am willing to hear not only His directive for my life, but I also am willing to hear His correction for my life. And I'm okay with that because I love Jesus and I know He loves me. And so for that person, you say, yes, I do want to hear God speak His word to me. And then there are others that say, no, I'd rather not. I'd rather convince myself that I can fool God and myself and others as being in line with God. You know what I mean by being in line with God? Being what God wants us to be. Being the person he's called us to be. Having a clear conscience before God. I'd rather fool God that I've convinced him that my way is better than his and everybody else knows that I'm a good Christian. But God knows the truth, and frankly, so do you and I. So do your ears desire to hear God speak his word to you? In 2 Timothy 4, 4 and 5, it says, they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. You say, aha, pastor, there you go. Paul's talking to Timothy, and he's not talking to me. Are we called to serve Christ individually? Yeah. God calls, God equips us. God gives us talents. God calls us to use what he gives us. And God wants us to be that living witness, good witness for him. He calls us to share the gospel. He calls us to live the Christian faith. And all of that entails the ministry that God would have us to live for him. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Now I'm going to say something that I don't want to be misunderstood, but because of I'm not trying to be comparative, except when I say that, it kind of sets it up like I am. You know, it's like saying, I don't want this, but in saying this, it made it that way. So what are you talking about? How many times in ministry we come across people, I've had Christians tell me, I've never been taught that before. Simple, basic Christian doctrine. I never knew that. Why? And be convinced that they are mature Christians because they've been Christians for 20 years or 30 years or longer or less, but they don't know the truth of God's word. And the reason is because they've been in places where they're not taught the word of God, not held accountable to the word of God. But I could blame that. I could say, well, it's the fault of the ministry. But the reality is, it's not the fault of the ministry, it's the fault of the individual. Because when our heart is genuine toward God and we want to follow him, we will learn his word because we know we ought to. We will seek out where we can be discipled, where we can be fed the word, where I can gain deeper understanding and knowledge of God. Because we want to. We want a deeper relationship with Christ, a richer life with him, a more intimate relationship with him. And we can only do that if we allow God the privilege of coming into our heart and exposing who we are to him, good and bad, and then listening and being willing to hear what God has to say for us so we can follow him and his will. That's the key to keeping in step and following Jesus Christ. So the first thing is, do you love hearing God speak to you? Or do you tremble at the thought that God is revealing something to you? Especially if it's not what you want to hear. And it all reflects our heart attitude toward Christ. If we love him, we want to hear from him. If we hear things that are corrective, we humble ourselves and submit ourselves to him because we love him. And we want to grow in him. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. I don't want to hear those deeper things that challenge the inner person that I am. I want it to be fluff so I feel good when I leave. And so they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. What's the danger there? They really don't grow in their relationship with Jesus. They really don't discover what God wants to do in and through their life for him. But you keep your head in all situations. In the original, it says, be sober. Be sober. You know, my mind says, well, the opposite of sober is drunk. So to be drunk is to lose your mind, so to speak. You're not rational, and you're just kind of, you know, being really sloppy. But here he's saying, but you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship. To be a Christian is challenging.
We do have hardships in our lives. We do have tragedy in our lives. We do have circumstances that come that overwhelm our lives, but that should not shake us off of the rock who is Christ, whom we stand on. It should not be a storm that blows us over and kicks us off of a rock like a strong wave that knocks you off. But in our heart, in our willingness to follow Jesus and love Him, we should endure the hardship by God's grace as we yield ourselves to Him and His will. And he goes on, he says, do the work of an evangelist. All of us are called to share the gospel. How many people die without Jesus Christ? And who is the one that has been trusted with the truth of the gospel? You and me. People need to know Jesus, because we don't know when people are going to be leaving this earth. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. For the time, and look at verse 3, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. We went backwards in the passage. We went to 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. They will not endure it. They will not want to hear it. They do not want to hear what God has to say. All they want is to be affirmed and feel good. But they don't want the inner man to be transformed. And we're called to be transformed into the image of Christ. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Oh, you know what? That church is just a little bit too fundamental to me. And that translates, I don't agree with that. This is 2010. So I'm going to go somewhere where the Word of God doesn't have to be so serious or impacting on my personal life. Let me ask another question. Do you live your life with a clear focus before God? Remember the diagram? When you have Christ sitting on the throne of your life, the center of your life, and then all your priorities begin to become organized. I love that. When I first heard that as a young Christian man, I thought, that is so cool. Because there's so many ways I could go. There's so many things in my life that I could do. There's so many things going through my mind. You know, be the chef, you know, and go to Paris and study. And I was going to live 6 months in Iran and go over there and be with family over there. And all these different things. And then as I was willing to hear what God had to say, God said, no, you're not going to do that. You're going to go into ministry. You're going to do this. To know the concrete confidence of the Spirit of God confirming in my spirit, not just then, but over and over. This is what I have for you to do. This is the direction I have for you to go. And maybe you might be saying, well, that's fine for you. You're called in ministry. But all of us can be affirmed that we're working at the job that God wants us to work at. We're living in the community God wants us to live in. We're marrying the person that God wants us to marry. We're raising our family the way God intends for us to raise them. We're being the father or the mother God wants us to be. We are being that person in the community that reflects the light and the salt of Christ Jesus. There are distinctive things that God can affirm in your heart and my heart that we are where we should be, doing what God has called us to be for Him. But it takes our heart being willing to listen to the fine-tuning of the Holy Spirit down in our soul that says, you need to listen to me. In doing so, we have a clear focus before God for our life. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, Paul said. His life was totally surrendered for Christ. And as he gave and he gave and he gave, do you ever give and give and give and be involved in ministry to such a degree, or serving other people, being the person God has called you to be, that you just feel tired? You feel emptied out? And that happens. But Paul says, I'm being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for me to for my departure. Paul was so close to the Lord that he knew that God was saying, your time's almost up, you're coming home. I have fought the good fight. How many of us will have the confidence to know that we have spent our energy, our life, our focus, our love on Jesus being what God wants us to be? There's a rich blessing in that. This side of heaven, it's not easy. It's a challenge. But I tell you what, on heaven's side, we're going to be so glad that we committed our life to following Jesus. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. No matter what the bumps, no matter what the dips, no matter what the challenges, no matter what the unexpected turns in my life, I know that I've been faithful to Jesus. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Why will Paul receive a crown of righteousness? Because God saw that Paul lived his life committed to him and yielded his life to Jesus as Lord, not just Savior. So many are saved, but not everyone allows Jesus to be Lord of their life. To be Lord of their life. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Let me ask you something. If our conscience isn't clear before God, do we long for his appearing? No. Why? Because we're going to be judged by God. How we live for him. We're not going to be judged for our sin. We're going to be judged for our faithfulness and commitment to Jesus and following him. So if we know we've not been following him, we know we've not been what God wants us to be. And I'm not talking about the mistakes. I'm not talking about the mess ups. I'm talking about the continuity of our life that reflects our main focus was Jesus and following him. You see, so that's not going to be an issue if we keep our heart right with Jesus. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." God's word penetrates the inner man of each one of us. And when we are willing to allow God to speak to us in that place, where we know the light of Christ is exposing who we are in him, it's there. It's there that we can understand the directions and the purposes and the transformation power of God on our lives. Is that a good place for you to be? In that inner sanctum with Christ? That personal, private place where you commune with him and you know things are right. Philippians 1:21, Paul said, "For me, to live is Christ and to die is gain." That rolls off our lips really easily, doesn't it? But you know what? He made a decision and he knew what God wanted him to do. For me to live is to be in God's will, to be the center of God's will, doing what God would have us to do. Third question I want to ask you this morning is this. Do you believe the Bible? Of course I believe the Bible. Isn't that the normal response? Do you love Jesus? Well, of course I love Jesus. Well, if you believe the Bible, the word believe, remember you've heard me say it many times, means pistuon in the Greek, and it means to rely on for one's spiritual well-being. Do we believe God's word enough to say, when we see God's word challenge us to make an adjustment in our life? Do you understand what I'm saying? God's word speaks to us. We see where our life's not lined up to where God wants it to be. And we make a decision. Okay, Lord, I will humbly submit to you and your will. And I'll make that adjustment in my life and yield myself to you. Or you will say, I don't like what you're telling me, God. So I'm not going to listen to you. If we are the type of people that say, I'll take what I like and I will not take what I don't like, then we are not people who love or believe in the Bible. Because what we're saying when we say no to God's word is this. We're saying, I believe that my rationale, my logic, and my wisdom is better than yours, God. Because what you're telling me means that I'm not satisfied with. And I've decided that my way is better than your way. Therefore, I don't believe that your way is right. I'll give you an example. How many people have come into my office and talked to me and even just wanted to get married or following Christ, and they're living with people outside of marriage. Or they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing and they know it, and you tell them and they say, I don't care. You know what they're saying? I know God's word. I know you've showed me. But God's word, I don't like to hear right now, and I'm not relying on it because I think my way is better. Because bottom line is, they think to themselves, I'm going to be happy if I do it my way. If I do it God's way, I'm not going to be happy. And it's really saying, I'm not willing to make the adjustment in my heart to allow God to be Lord of my life and to transform me to be the person that God wants me to be. I am still on the throne of my heart, not the Lord Jesus Christ. To allow Jesus to be on the throne of our heart means that we're willing to submit to what God's word has told us to do, to submit to the Holy Spirit as he calls us to do. So do you believe the Bible? That is, do you trust and rely on God's word? 2 Timothy 4:9 and 10 says, do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas was a co-worker with Paul, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Okay, if in the south, well, forget it. So Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. What happened? Demas, a Christian, has said, I am dethroning Christ off the center of my heart. I'm putting myself back on the throne of my heart. And I'm not going to follow you no more in your way because I think that I could be a lot happier living my way in this world as I see it. Paul says not to do that. Essentially, if we walk away from God, we're telling God we don't believe you. And yet it's amazing to me how many people will say, I'm a Christian and I believe God's word, but it's all conditional. It's all so conditional. So, Hebrews 4:12 again says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. But look what James says. James says in chapter 1, verse 22 through 25, he says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. To deceive yourself is to lie to yourself, is to be convinced that your way is better. That's what that means. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. When people are saying, what should we do to make things right here? And you share with Scripture what should be done. And they go, you know, I really don't like that idea. I think I'll go with my way. That's not believing God's word. And that's choosing to say, oh, I see clearly where I'm at and as far as the Scripture says. But I like that mirror. But I'm going to walk away from that. I really don't want to acknowledge that. That's what he's saying. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law, intently, specifically, with a desire in his heart, the person who looks intently into the perfect law, God's word, that gives what? Freedom. Here's the clincher. People are convinced that their way is better and that they're going to be happier when it's only going to make a bigger mess in their life. But when people are willing to listen to what God says and apply it to their life, there is freedom from the consequences of sin because you've yielded your life to God instead. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Blessed. happy, fortunate in what he does. When you and I as Christians say, God, no matter what, and I realize there are times that we back up from that, and we mess up and we sin or whatever, but the continuity, the consistency of our faith says this: the most important person in my life is Jesus. And I want to follow Jesus. And I want to be in his will and his purpose and his plan for my life. And when I learn something, I'm not going to dismiss it. I'm going to ask God for the grace to help me to apply it to my life and help me to adjust my life to his standards and to his way. When that becomes a pattern and a consistency in our own lives, then we're not forgetting what he has told us through his word. And then we do it, we will be blessed. We will be happy. We will be fortunate in the Lord. He's not saying we will be blessed financially. He's not saying that your life will go smooth. He's not saying that you won't have hardship or trials or heartache or pain or anxiety and all these type of things. But what he is saying is this: when your heart is right with God and you're yielded to him no matter what, there's a freedom even in the difficult times that can only come through a right heart with Jesus Christ. And the choice is each of ours. It sounds harsh, but it is true. There are many that want to play the game of Christianity on their own terms and their own rules. But the only way to walk with Jesus is to walk obediently in his word. And when we mess up, confess and repent and move on. In conclusion, believing God's word is evidenced by living by the word of God. I said, you believe God's word? You say, oh yeah, I believe God's word. Well, how come you're not living for Jesus? You're not really believing God's word. What you're saying is, I believe my way is better than yours, because you're not willing to follow. Wow. So where are you? Where are you? Who are you? Are you saved? Is everybody a believer here this morning? And if you are a Christian, who sits on the throne of your heart? You or Jesus? And what's the proof of that? Our action, our faith, our commitment to the truth of God's word and living by it. James 2:17 says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Or my favorite translation for this verse, the King James Version, even so faith, if faith has not works, is dead, being alone. We can't declare how that we're Christians and have faith and believe in God and then choose not to walk and live with Jesus. It's dead. It's worthless. But when we yield ourselves to Jesus, there's power and freedom. And we discover what God has for us. Let's go to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for each one here this morning. I ask, Father, please, that you will bless your word as it has gone out, and that you will help each of us just to love you more, to die to ourselves, to discover you, to allow you to be Lord on the throne of our heart, that we will believe that your way is the right way, and the evidence of that will be applying it to our lives and living for you. Pray, Father, your honor this. Bless it. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.